The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned goods stuff,
shop vac supplies,
toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bose. We are once again returning to our longest running series in the podcast, looking at the filmography of Amitabh Bachchan year by year. And this time we're in the late 2000s.
First up, Bachchan plays a stubborn chef who meets his match when Tabu walks into his restaurant in R. Balki's 2007 romance, Chini Kum.
Then Bachchan plays a ghost who makes an unlikely friend. I think the ghost would be the unlikely friend, but yeah. When Juhi Chawla and Shah Rukh Khan move into the bungalow, he's haunting in Vivek Sharma's 2008 family comedy, Bhootnath.
Finally, Bachchan plays a 12-year-old boy with progeria.
Oh.
While Vidya Balan and his own son, Abhishek Bachchan, play his parents in R. Balki's 2009 drama, Pa.
Before we begin, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people.
Matt, this is not only our longest running series.
This is a passion.
This is your favorite series to do.
It is.
Whenever we are trying to think of what we're going to do for an episode, you're immediately like, we could do another Bachchan episode.
I mean, I think there's only like 7 more left until we're through all of his career.
Really?
It's close.
Because we're jumping a bit into the future here, so...
Yeah, so Mark and Rajmi were over, and they wanted to watch Chini Kum.
It was my idea, actually.
It was your idea. You traitor.
Yeah.
So we'd actually left off in 1999 mm-hmm. in the sequential version, minus, of course, I think 86 and 88, because we haven't been able to get a hold of those yet.
Yeah, and we've jumped into the future and then back before. It's not that we haven't ever done that in this...
Yeah.
In this series.
Oh, and Sat Hindustani, which someday we're just going to have to get a rip from somebody. That'll be the last episode if we watch the first one. That's nice. That's like, sir, you know, poetry.
No, I just wanted a nice movie night, and I've been wanting to see Chini Kum for a long time. So I made plans for us to watch Chini Kum. And you were like, why are we watching Chini Kum? And I was like, I don't know. We can do it on the podcast. And I kind of thought we might do an episode like with Chef. Or, you know, around, like, cooking or food, and you were like, no, Bachchan, so...
Well, I think I looked at my list, and for, what year is that, 2007? That was, like, kind of one of the only ones where he's, like, a main. And for this series, we do try and get things where he's the main character, because mm-hmm. obviously there's plenty of movies where he's, like, a narrator or, like, a side guy. But, like, we try and make it for him to be the main character.
There were some other options, which we'll discuss.
And I would say Pa is kind of debatable in that one, because he's kind of out of commission for half of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I don't know. And I also wanted to see it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so as I said, we last left off this series in 99. In 2000, Amitabh Bachchan only made one film, Mohabbatein,
yeah.
Which we've already discussed. So we were never going to do 2000 in this series.
I'm definitely not watching that movie again. I didn't really like it. So, and if you want to hear our thoughts on it, just click the link.
Yeah, yeah. It's we discussed that film. But the 2000s are very much a revival for Bok Joon's film career. Mm-hmm. This is where he starts to have like a big string of critical and box office successes that really cement his status in Bollywood into the present day.
Yeah.
This is kind of where, you know, starting with Mohabbatein, this is the Bok Joon we became familiar with initially when we started watching Bollywood movies.
Yeah, I mean, probably the first thing we saw him in...
The Great Gatsby?
Yeah, before the podcast would be The Great Gatsby, which comes out around this time.
Yeah.
And maybe 2010 or so.
But yeah, like, it's the 20-teens, but yeah.
But now he's like in elder statesman mode and exactly. Not in that awkward major sob, like still doing action, but also getting up there in age.
Yeah, you know how sometimes they talk about like teen stars, like... You know, someone like a Selena Gomez, you know, needing to make that transition from a teen star to an adult star and how...
By doing awkward. Spring Breakers.
Yeah.
This is Amitabh Bachchan, Spring Breakers.
Yeah, we have a big Spring Breakers poster in our home, which
it's
I
right
can
there.
See right now, which yeah. is kind of why she was the example off the top of my head. But
that's
I mean,
they have a lot in common.
Yeah, there's been so many teen stars over the year. But you know how, like, that they talk about that awkwardness yeah. of, like, you know, Miley Cyrus had to deal with this a lot of kind of transitioning from, you know, being a teen star who appealed to children to, you know, being an adult star. Like,
yeah, not in quotes.
Yeah, yeah. Not in quotes. I feel like Bok Joon had to do this. Like,
it's like his fourth time, right?
Well, but he wasn't a star in his teens. He was always an adult. But it feels like he really had to shed, like, you know, a certain kind of persona, his angry young man persona.
Yeah.
He really had to kind of let go of that and step
and the 90s
in.
Are kind of the going back to that, right?
Yeah.
Like, he tried to relive it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he really had to let that go and step into this kind of, as you said, this elder statesman kind of role. This,
he gets
like,
handed a sweater vest and it's like, well, you're a grandpa now.
You know, like, he just, you know, he becomes this authoritative figure in the films kind of starting in the 2000s.
Actually, you know, the first time I ever saw him and...
Fashion TV.
Yeah.
With Jeannie.
Have we talked about this before?
Yes.
Yeah. That would have been like in the early 2000s. So actually kind of around now.
Yeah.
Probably, but I wouldn't have known who he was. It was just like, and this is the Big B. And like, oh, that's an interesting name. And then like 10 years later, we have a podcast talking about him.
Yeah. But he's not, you know, he's not trying to... he's playing his age here, right? Like,
except in one of these movies where he's playing a 12-year-old.
Right. Okay, yes. But, you know, he's embraced the gray. He's not trying to be the leading, like, a younger leading man anymore.
Yeah, all three of these are about his relationship with age.
Yeah.
Or history, even.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So as I said, we will go back and kind of cover this gap that we're jumping over.
2001 to 2006.
Yeah. But we have already discussed many of the notable films in this period. Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham, Veer Zara, Black, Bunty or Bubbly, Sarkar, Kabhi Alveda, Na Kehna. There's definitely like some interesting films in this period too that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah.
Like Axe.
Yeah.
I've been looking for that for a while. I hope I can find it.
I got it. It's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
But some of these are just incredibly difficult to find.
Boom is also in this period, which yeah. I'm kind of fascinated by. Like, there's still a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But 2007, it was a slow start for Bok Joon. Neither Eklavya, the Royal Guard, nor Nishab did well at the box office, though they were well received by critics. You say that like there were slim pickings on him as a lead in 2007, but Nishab looks fascinating. It's a remake of American Beauty.
Well, maybe I also thought... I kind of don't want to watch American Beauty again.
That's fair. Like, and I did say... Like,
do they do the plastic bag thing again? Like, that was so...
I don't think they do the
so
plastic...
That was so corny.
I don't think they do the plastic bag thing again. I think it's more about the relationship with a much, much younger woman.
Well, also, not ideal.
Yeah. Yeah, and as I said, like, this episode was kind of born out of a desire of just kind of some lightheartedness.
Yeah.
Some, you know, some enjoyable movies. So Cheney-kun, which also comes out in 2007, does catch on with the box office, and Shootout at Lock Mandala is like his big hit this year in 2007.
And again, he's not the main in that. We did both of the Shootout movies a long time ago, but yeah, I thought they were okay.
Yeah, I didn't even really remember him in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2007 is also when he stars in Aag, a remake of Sholay. Directed by Ram Gopal Varma.
Yeah.
You've heard about it, but it was not as successful as Sholay in any way.
Everyone hates this movie.
Yeah, not at the box office, yeah. Not critically. Like,
just a generally reviled film.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, trying to remake Sholay.
That's a fool's game. Like, oh, let's remake Star Wars, or let's remake Jaws.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. And, I mean, and they get... They get Bakchan back for it, but I don't think he's playing the same role. I admit, I didn't look it up.
He probably shouldn't. He's getting up there in age.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is kind of like... That kind of feels... That could have been, in some ways, maybe like a nail in the coffin for his career. Like, return to your biggest hit, and it's a huge flop. I'm really glad it wasn't. I'm so grateful it wasn't.
It appears he had like six other movies that year, so.
Yes, including his first English language film, The Last Year, which, you know, apparently he got really good reviews for.
Hmm.
2008, he appears in Bhootnath, which we will be discussing, and the sequel to 2005, Sarkar Raj, which is a remake of The Godfather Part 2. Our episode where we discuss Sarkar, we also discuss Sarkar Raj.
So. We never got around to Sarkar 3, but we have to watch that for later on in this series.
Okay, well, I've seen Sarkar 3.
Yeah.
So sorry, Matt. That.
Yeah, I know. It's not going to be a huge surprise for you, but I can't imagine, based on all the movies you've seen, that you remember much of it.
I don't. Probably as good as Godfather Part 3.
Those are fighting words. People are trying to reclaim that movie, and there's that new edited stuff, too.
I kind of like the new edit, yeah. Yeah. In 2008, Yar Marries Indagi, a film he shot in 1976, also came out after a long delay. But
32
it was a
years?
Very, it was a very small release. But interesting to
know. That might have been a funny one.
Yeah. And then in 2009, he stars in Aladdin.
Which we've talked about. See, we're getting into the problem of, we've seen a lot of his films around this time going forward.
Yeah, and Pa, for which he won the National Film Award for Best Actor, and his fifth Filmfare Award for Best Actor. So, anything you want to say before we get into these films? I apologize to the listeners that I made us jump forward in time out of selfishness.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think we've done it once or twice, but you can listen to the playlist on the site in order. Well, we'll get into it, but I think all three of these movies are about someone reckoning with age and, like, lost...
Even while playing a 12-year-old boy, yes.
Yeah, but, like, age and lost opportunities and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
It is... These are very... Yeah, even Bhootnath, which is kind of silly, like, mature films. Bhootnath, I'm actually sort of confused as to how it's a kid's film. The first half, yes, very much a kid's film. The second half, I feel like a lot of kids might have got bored. But we'll get into it.
I think you're right, though. I think all of them are... They're all reflections on aging. They're all reflections on, I think... regret, but also making the most of the time you have.
Yeah.
I actually think all three of these movies have kind of uplifting things to say about life and embracing the possibilities of life and embracing the time that you have. Like, they're actually, like, this actually ended up being kind of, I think, a very nice trio of movies to watch.
I was surprised at how much I liked all of them.
And to discuss. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was expecting to like Cheney-kun.
Yeah.
I'd been hearing good things about that film for years. So the title roughly translates to Less Sugar. It came out in 2007. directed by R. Balki, who I think is a really interesting director.
And we've been in the same room with.
We have, yes. He came to the India Film Festival of Alberta last year.
For Goomer.
You can listen to our episode about that. I think you and I both really like Chup.
Yeah.
Really fascinating movie. I also really liked, I don't think you ever saw Key and Ka, which was like a huge flop.
Yeah.
But I
remember you talked about it in the yearly episode that year.
Yeah, I liked it. We haven't seen Goomer, but like overall, I think
we're almost through his whole filmography at this point.
Yeah, I think, you know, he generally makes movies that I think are about things. He did Padman. Shamitab, which I've seen, was a bit.
That's another one we'll get to when we get down there, I think.
Yeah, it's okay. But, you know, like, I think he does really, like, I don't know. I think he always has ideas in his movies. And I think he also always has things that he's trying to say about people and human nature and gender and family and romance. And I don't know. I think he is a director of substance.
Mm-hmm.
So it stars Amitabh Bachchan, Tabu, Paresh Rawal, Zora Segal, and Sweeney Kara. Despite it kind of initially starting out poorly at the box office, it went on to be a success, so kind of a bit of a sleeper hit,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that word of mouth really grew.
Is it a super R? I think it's verging on super R.
No, I don't think so,
And
I will tell you why. And you have to define super R for people.
Yeah.
It was well received by critics, and Tabu received the Best Actress Critics Award at the Filmfare Awards. So why don't you set up what Chini Kum is, Matt?
Okay, so we watched it a little while ago, but I think I remember most of it.
Yeah.
Amitabh lives with his mother in London,
mm-hmm.
and he runs a successful Indian restaurant.
Yeah.
And one day, a customer sends back a plate. I forget what the dish was.
It's like biryani.
Yeah, but she says, I think she's like, it needs less sugar, right? That's the whole gimmick.
Yeah.
And he's like, he comes out and he explains, like, well, I bought all these ingredients. I went to school. I learned from all these chefs. This is actually the perfect version of this dish, and you are wrong. And she's like, no, I think it needs less sugar. That's the way I like it. And that guest is Tabu,
yeah.
who is in town from India. She's visiting a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of a unconventional love story happens between these two.
She's
about 30 years younger than him.
Yeah, she returns like shortly after and sends like a version of the biryani into the kitchen. And Amitabh Bachchan tastes it and goes, see, there's nothing wrong with it. And she's like, exactly, I made that. Like,
yeah, it's a pretty good flex.
Yeah.
And next door to Amitabh in London, there's a young father. I don't know if he saw the mom, but there's a young father with a girl who I'm going to say was like 9, 10 mm-hmm. years old. We never know her name, but there's kind of just a joke that she has with Amitabh that she's sexy.
Yeah.
And like, she kind of like claims him, like, oh, y'all, you get to marry me, you know.
Yeah.
Like they have an interesting relationship, but she has cancer,
yeah.
and is not doing very well. So he's got this kind of, I would say, almost not Larry David, but like, you know, a guy who's kind of stuck in his ways, and mm-hmm. he's got his own little friend group, and then he probably would never leave.
Does he have any friends?
Actually, that's
a good
question.
He only has Sexy as a friend, and then his employees.
He has all of his employees, including Colgate, who's this guy with unfortunate teeth that everyone dunks on, even though, like,
I really liked Colgate, yeah. and I just kind of thought that the movie was very rude to Colgate at
yeah.
times.
But he does, okay, so he doesn't have a lot of friends, but he's, like, he's got his own sort of habits, and
yeah.
he's stuck in his ways.
He's set in his ways. He's stubborn.
But then Tabu shows up and upends everything. He falls in love with her. He chases her to India, basically, after her dad is in the hospital, I think.
Yeah, she has to go back because of her dad.
Yeah. So, and then there's some comedic elements coming up in that, much like in a Shah Rukh Khan romance picture, like, he has to kind of infiltrate the family to get them to be on his side, but he's actually older than
yeah.
her dad, who's played by Paresh Rawal,
yeah.
and they kind of see him as just, like, another old guy to add to their old guy gang instead of a romantic partner for his daughter.
And he's so upset about his daughter.
Once he finds out.
Yeah, about Tabu, and Amitabh Bachchan that he goes on a hunger strike.
Yeah, and that leads to my favorite line of the movie where Amitabh's like, yeah, good, go on a hunger strike. I don't care. When you die, I'll marry your daughter anyway. Like, just kind of showing, you know, he's old enough that he doesn't really care about the dad's feelings or whatever, and he just likes Tabu, but he knows that she cares.
Yeah.
But it's very kind of just... It's irritating that this guy's trying to be such a drama queen and ruin everything, but also, Amitabh's like 60 in this movie. He's lived life. This is not like the most challenging situation he's ever had in front of him. So,
yeah.
Like, it's charmingly low stakes.
Yeah, this is a very lovely movie. It approaches the romance very maturely.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like,
see?
There's a real kind of subtlety to Amitabh Bachchan and Tabu.
They don't fall for each other right away.
Yeah, falling in love. Like, at first, they're kind of at odds with one another, but they're clearly intrigued by one another.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, they seem to fall in love really naturally. They seem to decide to get married really naturally. And then this kind of obstacle of her father, like, everything is kind of really on, like, a mellow simmer throughout this film. Like, Parashural
has, like... A mature relationship. Yeah. It's on a low simmer.
Parashural
the flavors are mellowing.
Kind of has, like, a few outbursts. But, you know, like, for a romantic comedy... and I mean, you have Colgate, but most things, like, it's not very broad. It's very kind of down to earth. And I think it approaches the age gap very well. And we are used to ridiculous age gaps in Bollywood movies.
But we are told that they're the same age.
Yeah, we're used to, you know, Salman Khan romancing a woman 40 years younger than him, but...
Probably 20. Probably 30 years younger than him. 30. He's not that old.
But on screen, well, no, it wasn't like...
Well, he's 60 now, and yeah, I guess he could be going after a 20-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't, okay. Like, the last Chibble Pandey film, wasn't she, like, a teenager? Like, wasn't she, like,
yeah, 18? Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, what I'm trying
to... I choose not to dwell on that.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is, you know, and Hollywood movies also have their fair share of, like, here's an older actor and a younger actress.
A May-December romance.
Yeah, but what Cheney Kum does so well is, you know, both of these actors are playing their age. And, you know, Tabu herself is also playing a
34,
woman...
35.
Yeah, a woman in her mid-30s who herself is also, you know, she's not some young ingenue. She's not pretending to be a young ingenue.
She's been around the block.
Yeah, Bachchan's not pretending, you know, as when we were talking about the kind of roles we start to see him in the 2000s, he's not pretending to be, you know, the young hero.
We have seen in the past.
Yeah.
He would have done that in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. And we're not seeing him as, you know, some sort of heartthrob here. And what you get, I think, is, like, actually two very incredibly romantic and sexy performances. Like, you totally understand why these two fall for one another. They discuss the age gap. It's something they're aware of, but they're both comfortable with it. They have conversations about it. And then what's really interesting is that, you know, that classic, well, they fall in love and then they need to convince the family that you see so often in Bollywood films is just kind of the way Parashural reacts to it because it's just about this age gap.
And it seems actually sort of realistic, too.
It
like,
does!
It would be a bit of a shock to the senses.
And
Parashvili's character is very, like, rich jerk.
Yeah, like,
he's used to running shit, and he's never thought of this happening.
And he considers himself like an intellectual. He loves Gandhi, like,
and cricket.
Yeah, and it's just, and I think
he keeps asking Amitabh, is like, do you remember this cricket match? Like, no, I don't watch cricket, but I was alive.
Yeah, that the contrast between the two of them is very funny. This, you know, I was a little kind of disappointed when we sat down to watch this because I really kind of wanted, like, a food movie.
Yeah, it is not really a movie about a chef.
Yeah, it's not as much of a food movie as I had kind of
assumed. And that's what the posters make it look like.
It would be, yeah. Because I love, you know, I love movies about, like, process.
Mm-hmm. This has nothing
like
that.
Yeah, so I thought we'd get more, like, time in the kitchen and stuff like that. Because, again,
He doesn't even seem to be, like, romantic when it comes to food, really. It's just sort of like, yeah, I run a restaurant. It's... you know, it's my life's work, but it's not really, like, my passion.
Yeah.
He's mostly interested in his friend Sexy. Like, that's kind of his main tether to reality at that point.
Yeah, so this brings us to, is this a super R? Because Sexy, very interested in adult movies and R-rated movies.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, this is a great opportunity to explain super R. I'm sure we have at some point, but it would probably be, what, like a 15-plus in England? I know they have some sort of age-based scheme like that.
Right.
But at least in North America, and specifically the States, and here in Canada it's different, an R-rated movie is essentially 18 plus to see.
Yeah.
In Canada, it's actually the equivalent of an NC-17. Like, no one under 18 can see it. It's much harsher, like, harder stuff. But I always thought, well, if an R-rated movie, you have to be 18 to watch. All these movies for old people could be a super R, which is like three times as R.
Yeah, yeah. There's a Japanese film that actually R-100, that kind of makes this joke as well. And this is, I believe Quentin Tarantino dubbed it geriatric cinema. It's like your best exotic Marigold Hotel kind of movie. And I love those kinds of movies.
Philomena?
Yes, love those kinds of movies. But we jokingly call them...
And we've watched many of them on this podcast.
Yeah, we jokingly call them super R's. I don't think Cheney Come falls into the geriatric cinema category. I think because Tabu is in her 30s.
Yeah, and Sexy's like 10.
Well, I mean...
Not for the romance aspect, but in the super R's, they're not often taking care of a young child.
No, no. But I don't think this is quite, like, senior citizen enough.
Yeah.
And again, like, I say this all with a lot of affection, because...
This is a distinction we've made up ourselves, so you can just explain it any way you want.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, this is kind of like an established category, especially in Hollywood at this point.
Yeah.
And again, I...
On Golden Pond, probably in the 80s, that would have been
it. Yeah. Like, and I like the kind of, like, the lighter fare about... you know, the 50 plus crowd, because I think there's a lot of book club.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of value.
80 for Brady.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in those movies.
Slightly saucy. A lot of English movies.
Yeah, a lot of English movies. But yeah, I think I like those kinds of movies because usually you get very good actors. They tend to be kind of lighter, enjoyable stories. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And I
would say English.
Yeah, yeah, I would too.
That's that sort of older person learns a skill.
Yeah, yeah. But Cheney Come, I don't think quite fits there. Maybe it's approaching it, but I think because so much of it is about kind of the May December romance, it doesn't really fall into the category for me of kind of that story about someone later in life kind of finding a new joy is often what it is. I guess maybe from Bak-chan's point of view, but it's not. It's halfway there for me.
Do you know what I can't abide in this movie though?
What?
The haircut.
His?
He's got this little rat tail.
Rid of it.
I know.
He gets rid
it's
of
a
it.
Plot point, but it's definitely on the poster and stuff. Like, he's got this little ponytail.
Yeah.
It just looks bad.
Yeah.
Even in 2008 or 2007, like.
Yeah.
You could have gone for the man bun probably, but you know, the little ponytail.
This is just such a nice, like, it's such a light and easy movie. It was exactly what I was kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a very, like, it's a comfort watch. It's
basically anyone would enjoy this, like, unless you want a bunch of action. Like,
yeah.
This appeals to most age ranges, maybe not kids, but, like, this is something you can recommend to your parents.
Yeah, this is just such a lovely movie.
You know what it kind of presages? It's The Lunchbox.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Different romance level ages and...
Also Piku.
And food. Yeah, Piku.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, the sort of roles that Irfan would be doing later on.
Yeah. Just lovely, lovely movie. That I found, you know, maybe it's a little slight. The stakes aren't all that high. But, you know, it just felt very realistic to me. It felt very comfortable.
Well, I think we should go to our song break because we talked a lot. So our song is Mara Buddy from Bootnath.
Ain't nobody does it better. No, no, no.
All right, so that was Mirror Buddy from Bootnath. But whose buddy is it? Actually, it's two guys singing about each other. I don't remember who the titular buddy is, but one of them is Bootnath.
Yeah.
So this movie came out in 2008. It was directed by Vivek Sharma. This is an interesting note that you have here. It is based on Oscar Wilde's The Canterville Ghost.
Yes, I might have misspoken in previous episodes and said it was a Dickens adaptation.
I was waiting for it. It's just like, when is the 19th century going to come up?
It is not. It is an Oscar Wilde adaptation. I'm not the one with the English degree.
That's true, yeah. I should have looked this up.
I'm aware that Charles Dickens and Oscar Wilde were different writers.
They are.
However, I think I can be forgiven for, you know, not remembering which one this was an adaptation of when I haven't seen this film or read this short story. And yeah. Dickens has ghosts in it.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he likes ghosts. Dickens yeah. has ghosts in it.
That's Dickens has ghosts in it. The corpus of Dickens' writing has ghosts in it.
His most famous story has ghosts.
Three ghosts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe four if
you count Oscar Wilde's most famous story is
has a haunted
Ernest.
Painting.
Oh, right. The Portrait of Dorian Gray. I was thinking it was The Importance of Being Earnest.
See? They're both pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know anything about The Canterville Ghost.
No.
Did you look into it?
It's a short story.
Yeah. It's presumably about a ghost haunting a house and maybe appearing to a child or, you know, having a family split.
What research we do on this podcast.
Yeah. Bootnath features Amitabh Bachchan, Juhi Chawla, Shah Rukh Khan, and kind of a glorified cameo.
Yeah.
It looked like he got to go on a cruise as part of being in this movie, which yeah. is very funny to me.
He's off screen for quite a lot of it.
Yeah. And Aman Siddiqui. Mm-hmm. This did well with audiences and critics, and children liked it. And there was a sequel, Bootnath Returns, that came out in 2014. You've seen that, and yeah. we'll watch that again when we get to 2014.
I don't know if this is going to surprise you, but it's mostly about the importance of voting.
I know. You've told me this many times. And now that I've seen Bootnath, it actually does sort of surprise me because this has very little to do with the democratic process.
Yeah.
But do you want to explain the plot of Bootnath?
Yeah. So we're in Goa.
Yeah.
And Juhi Chawla, Shah Rukh Khan, and Aman Siddiqui are new to wherever we are in Goa. They buy a big bungalow, and Shah Rukh Khan like immediately goes off to work and is, you know, away. Yeah.
He's an engineer on a cruise ship.
On a cruise ship, yeah. So he's away for most of it. But the film mostly follows Aman Siddiqui, who, you know, is in a new school and not really fitting in at first. You know, the other kids are kind of bullies.
Jojo, they get they have a prank war.
Yeah, but he befriends this ghost in his house, played who he nicknames Bootnath.
Which means Boot is ghost and then Nath is the guy's last name.
Yeah. So, yeah, so one night he gets up to get some ice cream and he discovers that Amitabh Bachchan is haunting the bungalow that they are in.
And we knew this already because the prologue is him scaring like some horny teens out of his house.
Yeah. And he doesn't want these people in his house, but his attempts to kind of scare this little kid does not work because he becomes friends with the kid.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get like Koimal Gaya-esque kind of scenarios where Bootnath, where Amitabh Bachchan uses his powers to kind of help the kid out.
It's telekinesis, right? And he can kind of imitate voices, and he has a few other gimmicks.
He can also like help the kid like turn into Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, he does stretch his arm out at some point.
Stretches his arm.
Like, Bootnath has all kinds of powers, actually.
Yeah. But, you know, he uses his powers to help out this kid, you know, help him make friends and also kind of find his place in the world.
Do you know what he doesn't do,
though? New home and his new school.
He doesn't help him excel at athletics.
No.
Which Jadu does.
Yes.
But, like, he's like, no, you gotta do this on your own, kid. I can't use ghost magic.
Yeah. There is
For some reason.
Yeah. There is a really, really good song number with all the kids.
Yeah.
Where they're all kind of, like, dressed up in kind of stereotypes.
Yeah, like American football or gangsters or, like, punk rock.
Yeah.
It is fun.
Yeah, this is it. It's a kids movie. It's a family movie.
Yeah.
So eventually I'm on Siddiqui's parents find out about the ghost. And they're not happy about a ghost in their house, and so they kind of...
Butnev puts him in the hospital, so yeah. They should be a little bit annoyed at him.
Yes. And so they kind of start to put plans in motion to essentially, like, remove Butnev from the home. And we
in a nice way.
Yes, and we do find out the backstory of, you know, how Butnev became Butnev. This is a really... This is... I
like this more than I thought it would.
Yeah, this is kind of like, I don't know if a ghost, like an elderly ghost, is a really good friend for a child. You know, I think maybe they should have friends that their own age.
Yeah, that are alive.
Yeah, but you know, I did have fun with this movie. I thought it was very sweet. We see so few Bollywood films that
for kids,
yeah, that are aimed at kids, like Chillar Party. Yeah, really sticks out. That's such a fun movie.
Is Butnev Beetlejuice
or is he Casper?
Or Casper, because Beetlejuice,
well, Casper's a kid, so no.
Beetlejuice historically is a bioexorcist that ghosts can hire to get humans out of their house.
Yeah,
whereas Butnev is just kind of doing that on his own.
Yeah,
and then Casper the friendly ghost is the ghost of a murdered child. I think he was murdered. I don't remember what happened to him. But he's a dead child.
Yeah.
And he becomes friends with new kids that live in his house.
Yeah.
So Butnev is kind of a mix of the two.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Or maybe he's like the Canterville ghost.
He's probably a lot like the Canterville ghost, actually. I can't really get into why, though. So there's that.
Yeah. This is a fun movie. I liked the song sequences. Like, yeah, like I said, I stopped my plot summary to talk about that one of all the kids, because that was delightful.
As soon as we saw that, we're like, oh, this is going to be fun.
This is fun. Yeah. And the one we played, the Mere Buddy with him. I mean, Mere Buddy does at times remind me a little bit of, like, the rapping in Aladdin that Amitabh Bachchan does.
Which is adequate.
Yeah, I think this one's...
But he's dressed all in, like, street clothes and stuff. It is fun to see him dressed like that.
I think this one's a little better. Juhi Chawla, she doesn't necessarily really get much to
she's
do.
She's just in the kitchen, though.
Yeah, she's basically just, like, playing the mom. There's, like, running gags about, like, sandwiches,
yeah,
and things.
Bunku, like, is the kid, and he's, yeah, the kind of archetype that you see in a lot of these movies where he's, like, a scoundrel, like a trickster, but yeah, everyone likes him. Like, mm-hmm, his mom's like, oh, Bunku, you're always doing your pranks and gags and,
yeah,
you know, getting kicked out of school. But it's great. We love it.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting archetype that you don't always see, but, like, is pretty popular in Indian media,
mm-hmm,
of the trickster, yeah, that everyone likes.
Yeah, like, there's not too much to say about this. Like, I didn't necessarily think it was, like, a great movie.
Yeah.
But I did think it was enjoyable. I did think it was nice.
I think once we learned Butnev's backstory, though, like, it kind of stops being fun for kids.
Mm.
It's mostly just a bunch of sad adults.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm wondering, like, did kids like this part of the movie? The first part is,
yeah,
gags and stunts and Butnev doing magic. We like that. But the last part's so sad. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I did like this better than
you Clark. Learned that you should call your dad.
Yeah.
Which, that hits home. I should call my dad.
I did like this better than Koi Magaya. I think it's certainly less cringe than Koi Magaya. I mean,
it's easier to act as a ghost than it is to be as a man with a...
With a developmental disability.
With a developmental disability, right? Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's less awkward to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that Koi Magaya probably is more interesting cinematically. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It has all those stunning views of Alberta.
There's Jadu in it.
And has some incredible dancing. But I think, like, as far as kind of the relationships and the story, I liked Butnev better. It was hard to not compare them because they're both kind of like, oh, like some sort of, like, person who develops magical powers then, like, helps a bunch of kids. I mean, I guess, like, there's no real central kid in Koi Magaya.
Yeah, there's just a group of them who are getting... bullied by, yeah, townies, I think. I don't remember. It's been a while.
But when I think about, like, the Bollywood films that you and I have seen that, like, are very clearly pitched more at, like, a kid's sensibility, like, that we would call, like, family movies, this isn't quite Chillar Party, but it's, you know, it was a nice movie.
The kid who plays Bunku is great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
for a child actor, he... actually emotes, mm-hmm. and like he's not just coming off like a little adult because he's written wrong. Like, yeah. they do a really good job of characterizing that guy.
And I think the bungalow, like the production design, it has a lot of character.
Yeah,
Which I really liked. It's certainly like, you know, it's like this big, kind of massive space. You know, with a giant staircase and everything's wood. Like, I wouldn't say it's unique. And that we haven't seen this kind of interior before.
It's like a nicer version of Hawa.
Oh, I wasn't thinking quite Hawa, but I was thinking like Bulbulia.
Well, yeah, Bulbulia is usually like a mansion or yeah. like a castle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice average size house for a ghost.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's just like, there's not too much to say about it. I'll be interested to see what you think of the sequel. But, like, yeah, I
don't think it's a huge spoiler to say, but, like, they exercise Bhutanath.
Yeah.
But then at the end, it's but just like, by the way, the I'm kid. Back.
Yeah.
But, like, he just comes back. And it's yeah. like, is Bhutanath just an imaginary friend? What's the difference between having an imaginary friend who's magic and a ghost? Is he actually an angel? Because he keeps saying he's an angel.
Yeah.
So, like, I forgot about that until just now. But, like, Bhutanath can return. He didn't actually leave. He's fine.
Well, and it's a little, like... Because I can see how this movie...
This would be a great way to tell kids about Lost. Like, you can't have Bhutanath forever.
Yeah.
But like, then he just comes back.
And also, like, you know, about, like, losing your grandparents. Like,
yeah.
Like, but then, yeah, I think the ending does kind of muddle the message.
If it wasn't Hollywood, I would...
the emotions.
Like, I would call it, like, studio interference if this yeah. was a Hollywood movie. But maybe, like... producer interference, like maybe the ending was just too sad. Just like, yeah, no, I don't want Bhutanath back. Who cares?
I do just love the concept of like, let's just make movies where Amitabh Bachchan plays a ghost friend of children.
Yeah.
Okay.
And watch the Mera Buddy video.
Yeah.
He seems like he's having a good time.
And the other song that I don't know the name of.
Yeah, there's another song about Bunku gets mad because what? Basically, that Bhutanath has to go away.
Yeah.
And then
the song where all the kids are dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like,
the one at the school. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like, the songs were a good stand-up.
Yeah.
If the songs weren't as good in this, it would be a much worse movie, but it kind of accumulates in a good way.
Yeah. Okay, finally we have Pa.
Okay, we've been kind of dreading this one, but you know what? I think it turned out okay.
This came out in 2009, also directed by Ara Balkhi. It is similar to Francis Ford Coppola's Jack, a movie.
What's Jack? Have you ever mentioned that on the podcast?
I don't know. It's a movie that came out in the mid '90s, starring Robin Williams, who has a rare genetic disorder where he ages very quickly. I don't think in Jack they ever call it progeria, but there's a very big difference between Pa and Jack in that Robin Williams just plays himself as like no makeup, no prosthetics, nothing. He's just like,
he's just, I am a child.
Yeah, he's just Robin Williams as himself playing a child. Whereas,
which is somewhat in bad taste.
Yes. Whereas here in Pa, Amitabh Bachchan is very clearly playing a child with progeria and very clearly made up to look like someone who has progeria.
It is very actually impressive makeup device.
It is, yeah. So, yeah, Jack is, you know, Francis Ford Coppola stands by Jack, but it's a movie I've been known to make fun of a lot.
I don't know if Francis Ford Coppola always has the correct, like, the greatest taste.
Well, from what I understand, like, he resonated with the script because, like, when he had polio as a kid, he felt really isolated. Anyways, whatever.
And then Robin Williams was there.
It's a bad movie.
When he had polio.
Bad movie. But having seen Jack and now having seen Pa, I would say that, like, they're... Like, the comparison ends at, like, famous actor playing...
Child.
Playing a 12-year-old, like, or playing a 13-year-old who has a condition where they age quicker.
It's like, that's more like Benjamin Button than Jack.
Which came out a little bit before Pa, so Pa was also compared to Benjamin Button.
Even though, like, apart from old age makeup, they don't really have much in common.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm. Because in Benjamin Button, he's aging in reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's getting younger.
You know, that classic thing that happens.
Not getting older quicker. Anyways.
Yeah.
So Pa stars Amitabh Bachchan, Abhishek Bachchan, Vidya Balan, Paresh Rawal, and Arundhati Nag. I have a note here about what progeria is. For those who don't know, it's a rare genetic disorder that causes people to age faster than usual.
They said in the movie, and I can't imagine that they would make this part up, but like maybe 40 people in the world have this. Like, this is an incredibly rare
thing. It is incredibly rare.
The only other person I've seen is, do you remember the South African rap group De Antwoord?
Yeah.
Who are in Chappie?
Yeah.
One of their friends had progeria. Mm. So he would be in the videos. Mm. So it's just like a guy in their rap team. But like, this is not something that you will ever encounter really in your life. It's so rare as to be almost, impossible.
Well, but
it happens.
It is still, there are still people right now living with progeria. Like, so 40. I don't want to.
But it's really like truly like a hellish disease. Like, this is like one of the worst things I can imagine. It's just like, kid would have no idea why this is happening.
Yes. And once children kind of hit puberty, there are quite a lot of complications. It's most people who have progeria don't live very far into their 20s.
Yeah, it's truly a nightmarish thing to have happen.
Yeah, so the film was acclaimed in India, but it didn't do as well overseas.
I could see that because, like, the trailer.
Yeah.
It had. Had this been come out by then? Tropic Thunder? It kind of had, like, Simple Jack vibes. Like, here's an actor really doing a lot of work and maybe he shouldn't have.
Yeah, I can't remember when Tropic Thunder.
I think it was around then, though. Yeah. But, like, it was that sort of, like, here's someone aching for awards attention.
Yeah. The film was nominated for 5 Filmfare Awards, including Best Movie and Best Director, and 1 Best Actor and Best Actress. And it won 4 National Film Awards, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Feature in Hindi, and Best Makeup. So, Matt, why don't you...
With good reason.
Why don't you tell us about the plot? Because, again, like, if you've never seen this film before, but, like, you've seen Jack, it's not at all the same plot.
Yes, very differently from Jack. Like, the main character having progeria is not actually the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
Which, from what I remember of Jack, it's just, here's a variety of sad scenarios where a very old child, like, cries and is concerned about things, right? Like, Jack, there wasn't really much...
And, like, Fran Drescher, I think, like, tries to date him.
Yeah, and then, like, his parents kind of worry about him.
And Jennifer Lopez is his teacher, and I think Diane Lynn is his mom. Yeah. It's like...
Stacked cast for Jack.
Yeah, stacked cast.
But Pa, like, progeria is sort of, I wouldn't say the inciting incident, but it is kind of, and connected to the plot. Mm-hmm. But essentially what we find out is that Amitabh is playing a child with progeria named Oro. I think he's about 11 when the movie starts.
12.
Yeah. I think it's his 12th birthday later.
No, it's his 13th birthday
later. Okay. Well, anyway, he's just about to become a teenager.
Yeah.
But he has progeria, so he is quite... he has a lot of health problems, let's say. He's basically got the body of a 70-year-old man, and the progeria has caused him to have basically like a very big skull. Mm-hmm. And he has breathing problems and a lot of stuff. But the movie starts with him kind of becoming a minor celebrity. I guess he's an MP. Yeah. An MP played by Abhishek Bachchan comes to Oro's school and picks Oro's... not a science project, but sort of just like an art piece, mm-hmm. about how he wants the whole world to be the same. It's a blank globe. He says, oh, this is really insightful. Everyone should be the same. Who's the child who has made this? And Oro comes up and accepts it. And then this becomes like a news story for a while.
Yeah.
Because Abhishek is sort of a controversial politician, mm-hmm. Who is involved in some sort of land deal with a bunch of people squatting. But we find out right afterwards that Vidya Balan, who is Oro's mother, actually met Abhishek Bachchan when they were studying in Cambridge, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And they hooked up, and she said that she had an abortion, but she did not. And their kid, Oro, has this very, very, very rare condition. Yeah. So Abhishek does not know that Oro is his child, and it's just kind of sheer coincidence that they meet.
Which I didn't know going into the film. Like, I knew the gimmick.
Yeah.
Abhishek Bachchan, it plays the father, and Amitabh Bachchan plays the son. But I didn't know that, like, that so much of the film was going to be about how they don't know yet for a while.
They don't find out until related. The last third of the movie. Well,
Abhishek doesn't
know.
Yeah.
But Vidya is just too stubborn. Well, she has kind of an annoying, to me, argument about it, is that we don't want to be a ripple in this guy's career.
Right.
Because he said, like, I have too much to do. You're going to med school.
He also, like, didn't want her to have the baby. Like, yeah. You know, she's...
He's not father material, but...
Yeah, she's raised this... This son
with her grand, with her mother,
with her mother, yeah, who Oro calls bum,
yeah,
and yeah, like she hasn't needed him.
She's very proud and like they're pretty well off too, yeah. So that helps.
Yeah, she's a gynecologist,
but she says like no, you like you would be kind of an obstacle to his career. He didn't want us anyway, so we might as well just never tell him.
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes a bit of an issue because Abhishek, in this sort of land deal thing, starts pissing off various members of the press, and he hijacks DoorDarshan one night and has this crazy display of like having people break into reporters' homes. Mm-hmm. And he does this, I don't know, kind of like Joker-esque thing of like dictating his news story about here's mm-hmm. all the crazy shenanigans I'm getting into. Which is a massive overreach of power, and I don't think that elected officials should do that. But it gets him in hot water, so then he kind of... him and Oro start talking. Oro says, I hate you. You made me a laughingstock on TV. And Abhishek's like, well, I'll make it up to you. You can see Delhi. We can show you the president's mm-hmm. palace. And, yeah, we could be friends. They eventually do this, and... Through a series of events, Abhishek finds out that Oro is his son. So really, it's kind of like a political thriller and then also sort of a slice of life comedy about this kid who, like, I think Amitabh did a pretty good job yeah. of being an 11, 12-year-old. He even kind of walks like a recalcitrant 12-year-old who doesn't want to be there.
He's too tall, though.
He is too tall.
He is always... too tall.
And sometimes they shoot him from above to make him look shorter, but like he's as tall as his father.
Yeah.
But like he's great. He loves playing video games. He just chats online all the time. Something I appreciated because I thought going in it was going to be like Jack, like basically all the kids in his school just like him or at least put up with him. Like he's not like a feared by everybody.
No. And I think the times when he doesn't get along with the other kids in school, it's deserved. They're like, you're being a jerk.
Yeah. He lies about stuff.
Yeah. They're not making fun of him for the way he looks.
There is one little girl who, when she first saw him, she flipped out because she'd never seen anybody with progeria yeah. before. And she's like chasing him around the whole movie, trying to give him a note. And he's like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
You screamed at me. But she was just trying to apologize. Yeah. And that is a very sort of like kid dilemma to have.
Yeah.
So, like, I thought it was going to be a bunch of kids being mean to him. I'm not trying to be soft-hearted here. Like, it's fine if that was the movie, but it was interesting that it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, they do... I think they, despite the gimmick on this, because I don't think there is any way to not feel like there's a gimmicky aspect to this film.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a gimmicky aspect to Jack as well.
To most films.
I do think that Balki approaches the material with some care. Like, and it's not a movie about progeria.
No.
You know, but at least... they name it progeria. At least they try to give you some understanding of the disease and also, you know, actually try and make Amitabh Bachchan up to look like he has progeria. So
it does become a sick kid movie, which we've seen.
Yes.
What, The Sky is Pink and a few other ones, mm-hmm. like dealing with someone with an illness. It becomes that sort of movie, but it's not, look at this weird, you know, old kid.
Yeah. Nor is it we're just taking advantage of the real world, of how that this is a real disease, but using it to our advantage to have an adult play a kid.
Which, yeah, it's not which exploitative.
Is what, which is what Jack is.
Yeah, it's... and the gimmick of Abhishek being his own dad's dad, like, there's plenty of movies where someone just, like, loses their kid yeah. or, you know, brothers get swapped or that kind of thing. So this is a classic kind of trope. It is a little bit interesting that it's
yeah.
this very known family dynamic being flipped on its head, but that sort of, you know, not knowing who your kid is. That happens all the time. Yeah. Like, that happens in Shakespeare and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Because ultimately, like, the themes of this film are, you know, are about family.
And political corruption.
Yeah, like, it has this political angle, but it's also very much about family. And all three, like, Bakchan, Vidyabalan, and Ami, both Bakchans. Bakchans and Vidyabalan, I think, like, the movie really kind of gives all three of them depth and kind of moments to explore, you know, where they are within their role of this family unit, which I put in air quotes because, yeah, you know, they're not really necessarily a family unit. I mean, it's definitely a little kind of sappy and weepy at the end. I maybe...
So is Chini Kum.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's interesting that, like, Abhishek kind of just sort of likes the guy.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone is the sort of father who can, like, appreciate a baby, right?
Yeah.
Like, not everyone's going to be that sort of person who sees one right and be like, oh, I love this thing. I'm going to protect it forever. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going to be the sort of person who appreciates your child when they're 12 and have a personality and you can kind of... He goes about it in an interesting way because he didn't know that he's his kid, but, like, they kind of become friends.
Yeah.
And then they realize the familiar relation. And I'm sure that happens to people. Like, some people probably resent their children until they actually get, like, sentient. Yeah. And then you can kind of see it as a fellow human rather than something you had to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not a common thing to see in movies.
Yeah. It's also very oddly shot.
Yeah, so, like, this movie has a ton of jump cuts all the time and edits throughout.
And Balki, at sometimes, like, the way he, like, the compositions, it's like there's just a big plant in front of someone for no reason.
In front of Bum's face, yeah.
Like, I don't know. This is a very strange film. Like,
it's weird for weird's sake.
I appreciated that I thought it approached the subject matter with some respect and some subtlety.
And also, that's not the whole thing.
And that, yeah, and that's ultimately not what the film is about. It's not the whole thing. But at the same time, it still feels like a gimmick to me. And the filmmaking is just, like, bizarre at times for the sake of being...
Yeah.
Strange. Like, Chini Kum felt very straightforward.
It had kind of, like, here's mid-2000s city living. Like, maybe some things would be, like, one car wide up and it'll be a little sped up as cars are going by. But, like, that was the style,
like, style
at the time.
Yeah,
It didn't seem like the style was overtaking the substance. Whereas in Pod, it's just... The style is fighting the substance, and I think the style is winning.
Yeah,
it's weird.
I don't entirely know what to make of this movie.
You thought you were going to hate it.
Yeah, I did. I've been kind of reluctant to see this film for a long time. And I didn't hate it. But I also still am just a bit like, what is this?
I don't think it was what either of us were thinking it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that about it. But looking at it on its own terms, Vidyabalan could play this sort of role very easily of a self-effacing mother who's also a doctor. Like,
but hey, she got a film for it.
Abhishek has to play kind of a strange role, actually, with this attention-seeking politician who has to kind of fess up to the errors of his past.
And Bakchan, like, Amitabh Bakchan seems like he's having fun, except for the fact that he must have spent, like, 4 hours in makeup every day.
Yeah, it must have been a physically grueling shoot.
Yeah.
But he's also, like, apart from the height, I think he's actually doing a pretty good job of being a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
He's got sort of the mannerisms down, and his interactions with the kids actually seem pretty, like, realistic.
Yeah, his performance is actually quite fun at times in this movie.
Yeah, he's got, like, zingers, and, like, he's a sassy kid.
Yeah. So should we bring it back to, like, all three of these movies are about aging?
Yeah, I mean, Bhutanath is the one that's hardest to explain with regards to aging, but it is the interaction between an older person and a child.
Yeah.
Whereas in Pa, the older person is the child.
Yes, well, and also, like, I mean, how can it not be about aging when you, your central character has a disease where they age four times as fast?
Yeah, I can't
and
say
so,
that.
And so, like, they're given a shorter life sentence.
Yeah.
And, but also, you know, yeah.
Like, it's in Butenath, he kind of died, like, 5 years before the movie. So it's not like he's a ghost from the Victorian era or something. So,
yeah.
And but it doesn't really dwell on the age difference, but it's more about Bunk, whose grandfather has passed away. And I think he's kind of like a surrogate grandfather.
Yeah.
And I think it's just sort of, it's interesting to see a 60-year-old man be friends with a 7-year-old.
But all of these films are about, like, what do you...
And sexy in Chinicum. Yeah. It is him interacting with children.
Well, yes. And also in Chinicum, it's also like, oh, I'm finding this romance later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think all of these movies do kind of ask a question of, like, what do you make of your life?
Yeah.
You know, you only have...
Your life is the effects that you have on others.
Yeah, you only have so much time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, in Butenath, when you find out... kind of what leads to his death.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of regret there.
Yeah.
And so I think all three
call
of these,
your dad.
Yeah, I think all three of these movies do ask the question of, you know, what do you make of your life and what do you make of the time that you have? Because everyone's time is finite.
Which makes sense for a guy who's been in the industry for 40 years at this point.
Yeah.
He may be attracted to roles that are thinking about your own legacy, and he's got grandchildren, so...
Well, but I think those are also the roles that people are making for him. Like...
Yeah. He's a unique person in
all
that...
All three of these movies are, like, made, like...
Yes.
Developed by Amitabh Bachchan.
Yeah, like, no one else could really do it.
Yeah.
But also, he's unique in that... Less so by this time, but in the 80s and 90s, he was still trying to do the action hero stuff. He'd done that for many years. And in this one, I think he's consciously choosing roles to move into that elder statesman mode.
Yeah.
And, he's older now. His interests in life have changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Presumably.
And they're three very different movies.
Oh, yeah. The tone between all three of these is wildly changed.
Yeah. Okay, I think that brings us to the end of this episode.
Yep.
What are we going to be doing next time, Matt?
Well, we're going to continue the trend of, like, really fun, happy things by watching Black Warrant, which was the show that we decided during pilot season 10 we wanted to watch. We just watched the second episode. Very cheerful.
We're also starting to work on our mid-year review episode.
Such as it is.
I'm a little nervous about this. This is just, like, not... The first few months of this year have not given us a lot.
The Hindi film industry has given
But, you know, if there's some hidden gems there that we should check out, please let us know. Or even not hidden gems, just let us know what we should be watching, because there's just, like, hasn't really been much that has grabbed our attention.
I have a list here, but not a lot of them are, like, making me very excited to watch them. And this is even coming off of, like, 4 years now when, like, there's been sort of rarities in, like, is anything that interesting?
Yeah.
It's the first half of the year is always harder, I think.
Yeah. So those are the next couple things coming up. In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
You can follow both of us on Letterboxd. We rate and review movies there. I'll put a little review sometimes, but you can see what we're coming up with for the show, especially with the year end. Also, check out the giant list of movies that we've covered on this show. It's coming up to about 600 different films.
Mm-hmm.
And compare and contrast. See how many of them you've seen. So that's fun. And I made a list of all the Amitabh Bachchan films in this series on there, including the ones that we're going to get to. So if you want to let me know if those are good ones, you can check that out. You can also send us an email.
Mm-hmm. It's BollywoodIsForLovers@gmail.com. If you're a fan of the show, please leave us a review and a star rating on your podcatcher of choice, and then you can collect your Biffle points. You can also listen to the show that I do with Paul Matwichuk called Trash Art in the Movies. We are doing an episode about like uneducated women becoming educated. So we're talking about Born Yesterday and Educating Rita.
So it's a real Pygmalion episode.
Yeah. We want to thank Becca Dahlke for our artwork. And that's it.
Tuffy. If Tuffy was a ghost, I'm sure he'd be very friendly. And I wouldn't go to a kitchen run by a dog. I think Tuffy has skills that are applied to other walks of life.
Okay.